It has done harm. It's been a signal of mistrust. And this at a time when most other nuclear suppliers internationally have moved to open regulated civilian nuclear commerce with India, Australia has been left behind. And if we claim, as we do, that we want to build a strategic relationship with India to make it one of our chief partners this century, then it's a necessary step to take.
Doesn't allowing sales to a country that's not a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty send a message to other countries, like, say, China and Pakistan, that they too can ignore the conditions of the NPT?
The relationship of uranium, India and the NPT is certainly an awkward question. It's not an easy question to answer. But India is something of a unique case. By various quirks of history, India didn't test the bomb before the treaty came into force, whereas China and several other countries did. Now, there is a question of whether this sends a negative signal, but you've got to think of the developments in the past 5 years or so. The US-India nuclear deal that really began this process, the decision in 2008 by nuclear suppliers, including Australia, to allow an exception for India to have civilian nuclear commerce with the world. These things have happened, and yet we haven't seen a cascade of nuclear proliferation. China's own nuclear commerce with Pakistan long predates the US-India nuclear deal, and indeed China has a much more dubious proliferation record than India does. Yet it's a member of the NPT, yet Australia sells uranium to it.
You mentioned the decisions over the last 5 years or so. The Minister for Resources said today that the 2007 decision by the US to sell uranium to India made Australia's position untenable. Did that US decision effectively neuter the NPT?
I don't think so. The 2010 review conference of the NPT, where President Obama and others, including Kevin Rudd, really led a push to strengthen the treaty, came after the US-India nuclear deal. So in a way, an arrangement for India could make the NPT more sustainable, not less. If the NPT was, I guess, neutered or destroyed by the US-India nuclear deal, we would have seen more evidence of it now than we have.
But if we're seeing a de facto NPT in these negotiations with India, why doesn't the international community simply admit that the existing NPT is pointless and junk it?
Well, essentially, you've got almost 200 countries that are party to a treaty. If you reopen negotiations on a treaty on the scale of the NPT, you're going to have, a decade's worth of the most difficult diplomacy that could end up with a worse outcome than the one we have. Reopening the NPT is not really a viable option, and instead, the best we can hope for is really carving out these exceptional parallel arrangements for countries that are in every other sense good non-proliferation actors.
Every time you do that, though, don't you weaken the non-proliferation treaty?
Well, in a sense, the weakness in the non-proliferation treaty came at its inception. There was a flaw in the treaty from the beginning. And India was the most glaring, notable example of that. A major country essentially locked out, refused the right to possess nuclear weapons for defence and refused the right to have civilian nuclear commerce with the world. Given that it is a democratic and stable nation and obviously on track to be the third most powerful country in the world, its exclusion from the treaty is, I think, the most glaring problem with the treaty. And the best we can hope for is a parallel arrangement that at least puts safeguards, obligations on India so that any uranium we or others sell to it is not going to be diverted to military uses.
Well, the Prime Minister says she will expect India to adhere to the same standards as other countries in terms of uranium export. But even if we do have a detailed protocol and Australian uranium is only used for civilian purposes, nuclear analysts say this would free up other sources to be used for nuclear weapons. So if this change of policy means India is able to increase its nuclear weapons capability, is that a position you think Australia can justify?
Look, I think we've got to look at India's nuclear program more closely. India has a small and slowly expanding nuclear weapons program, and we haven't seen signs of this accelerating since the US-India deal. Secondly, if you really want to apply that logic, you would say we should sell no energy sources to India, full stop. And finally, India already has access to all the uranium it needs from multiple sources around the world. So So any in-principle decision for Australian sales is not going to have some sort of proliferation effect on India's nuclear weapons. Instead, it's going to be a political signal that finally we trust India, finally we're not discriminating against India. And frankly, if we end up negotiating a safeguards agreement with India and India doesn't like the details of that agreement, then fine.
You'd have to concede, though, wouldn't you, that if Australia sells uranium to India, it does increase the risk of fueling a nuclear arms race between India and Pakistan?
No, I wouldn't concede that. I think that the nuclear arms competition that's taken place, I guess, between India and Pakistan and to some degree involving China as well, it has been underway for a long time. So this will continue whether or not we sell safeguarded uranium to India.
If Australia is going to negotiate a detailed protocol with India on the use of Australian uranium, why not just insist that India sign the NPT?
This is the basic problem. For India to sign the NPT, it has to automatically surrender its entire nuclear arsenal. There is no way that any sane Indian leader can do that while China and Pakistan possess nuclear arsenals. And in China's case, of course, it possesses nuclear weapons under the NPT because the Chinese were, I guess, pressing it enough to get round to testing a nuclear bomb in the 1960s before the NPT came into force.
You're sort of pointing out all these holes in the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty and yet still saying that we shouldn't, as an international community, junk it. What is the current benefit of the NPT?
Look, the Non-Proliferation Treaty has certainly slowed the rate of proliferation. Many countries, including Australia, I would add, that contemplated building nuclear weapons back in the 1960s, ended up deciding not to, partly as a result of the NPT. It is an imperfect arrangement. I certainly support the NPT, but it needs to adapt, and one way it can adapt without some sort of complete reopening of the treaty, which could end up with a worse outcome, is to carve out detailed parallel arrangements and obligations for key countries outside the NPT. And the only one of those countries, I think, at the moment that really warrants special treatment is India.
And yet, surely, as we keep finding these loopholes or carving out these exceptions, we weaken the treaty even further.
But I don't think there will be more exceptions carved out in the foreseeable future. I mean, Pakistan is a completely different case to India. It's a country that has a record of proliferation. There's all sorts of fears about instability within Pakistan, risks to of its weapons falling in the wrong hands. I don't think that other than China, any country has any desire to have a nuclear supply relationship. All of this is imperfect. It's in some sense we're all going to have to muddle through, but certainly we can't hold rigidly to the NPT as it was, nor should we junk it. No, that's diplomacy.
Doesn't a decision like this, though, give China the moral high ground? It could say that it can sign a similar deal with Pakistan.
Well, China has already been involved in accepting the exception for India, but China's arrangements in selling reactors to Pakistan actually go back to the 1980s, and indeed China, unlike the United States, has not tried to get international endorsement at the Nuclear Suppliers Group for its arrangements with Pakistan. I really should reiterate that the horse has bolted on this issue. Australia supported in 2008 a 45-nation consensus allowing civilian nuclear commerce with India. So, in fact, it's been hypocritical for us since then to refuse to do ourselves what we've sanctioned other countries to do.
Rory Medcalf, thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.